Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my Wild Country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
The latest rage for kids is driving entire neighborhoods crazy. It's called
Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
That's like an alarm clock.
With Dusty Hera.
Well, you want to woo-woo?
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
It's that woo-woo.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080.
They think it's a fad. It's going to go away. It's not going away. It's driving me nuts.
The Fan.
Hour number three, Dusty and Cam in the Morning. Coming up this hour, Oregon dodging a big one. Where is that line? We'll discuss our P1 social from earlier. Kevin Cash pulling Blake Snell as he was on fire on the mound. Why? And where is that line with analytics? Are we pushing it too far in baseball, especially? 503-250-1080. That be the Fan text line. But where we start this hour is, would Trevor Lawrence really do it? Yesterday, he was going through his Zoom media availability, and he said, my mindset is that I'm always going to move on. But who knows? There's a lot of things that could happen. Talking about going to the NFL draft. Would Trevor Lawrence really have the balls to sit there and look at the Jets and go, nope, I'm just going to go back to Clemson for one more year?
That's a really, really good question. So if he doesn't, he's a number one pick no matter what, this year or next year. I would immediately say that, no matter what. Okay, rolling the dice or whatever, depends on how you want to look at it now. He would have been the number one pick if he would have went out as a freshman after they won the national championship. You have the two worst teams at the very, very bottom, very, very bottom, that I think that are places you're going to look at. One, the New York Jets. Two, the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then at that point, do you want to put in the Texans or the Falcons?
I'll put the Giants in there.
Well, the Giants aren't in the Lawrence sweepstakes. I believe they like Daniel Jones. From what it is, I mean, you don't move all the way up and go to six and pick a guy, but maybe Dave Gettleman might be out. So we don't know. That's true. So that's fair. Fair to say, is that would they turn down Trevor Lawrence if they ended up getting the spot? But they're at 1-6. Cincinnati Bengals are not in the Trevor Lawrence conversation. They're probably in the first pick conversation because they can get a haul of assets. What would you do? If you were the best, I always love this hypothetical in the world, because we discussed this just like Joe Burrow last year. Let's say you're the best app program designer in the world. And it's not even close. And you just want to say Justin Fields is close. I believe Trevor Lawrence is not head and shoulders above him, but he is a couple notches above. Right? They're both talented, but Trevor Lawrence has already won a national championship. He's more veteran. He's got all the intangibles. I need more of Justin Fields. You're the best app program in the world. They're going to send you to Nebraska to be the integrative app designer of traffic mobile design for the Nebraska City Council. I just made that up.
City of Nebraska.
That city. City in Lincoln. We're going to go to Lincoln, and in the city of Nebraska.
Isn't
in
that
Lincoln,
where the wing guy is? The guy who wants to ban boneless wings?
That's right.
Good spot. Yeah.
You're going to work for him.
We're going to work for the city council, and you're going to help strategize how to improve traffic in Lincoln, Nebraska, of all places. And you're the number one in the world. And you got to sit there for 5 years. And if they like you even more, they're going to hold your rights for another two by franchising you into submission. And you could be there 7 years before you make it out of the doldrums of Lincoln, Nebraska. That, my friends, is how the NFL works when you're the best player. That's how it works.
I'm going to tell you, cushy job.
Or
coordinating traffic in Lincoln.
Yeah. Or you could go work for, I don't know, Google, Apple, maybe a few Facebook. Because those franchises, like Dallas Cowboys is flipping Apple. Mm-hmm. You want that job? You want to be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. Nod your head. Yes. Yes. It's the most lucrative position in all of the NFL. It's the number one quarterback spot on the number one brand in the entire world. You want that. So I don't know, man. I would contemplate, because at this point in time, the New York Jets and the I want to be part of the Jacksonville Jaguars if I'm Trevor Lawrence.
See, but here's where it gets a little bit more dicey for Trevor Lawrence, is that going back to college, he's saying he'd be open to it, but I don't think that gets you anywhere where you can use leverage to get out and just say, no, I'm not going to the Jets. I'm not going to Jacksonville either. And you can name your destination if you really and truly
like Elway
want
or Eli?
To do that. Yeah. Eli Manning did it. Yeah, Elway did it.
We thought Joe Burrow was going to do it, but he didn't. He went to a god-awful place.
Well, Burrow may be doomed. Why Trevor Lawrence does it. Because
doomed.
What Burrow did was he sat there and he's like, no, I'll play for anybody, anywhere, anytime. And he doesn't have the mentality that Trevor Lawrence does.
Are we sure?
Well, these comments right here, Joe Burrow never said anything like, well, you know, I don't know. I've never thoroughly thought of it. You know, if Trevor Lawrence does this, he doesn't have the same mentality as Joe Burrow. And that we know that.
So here's what you get. You know what's smart about the fact is that Joe Burrow did make that decision, went to Cincinnati. I'm not going to tell you it was a right or wrong decision. It's his decision. Mm-hmm. I dislike that franchise. He's doomed there for mediocrity. They're just doomed based by the ownership. It's never going to get over the hump. It's already been proven.
Ask Carlos Dunlap.
Yeah, it's already been proven. Just ask any quarterback that's been there. I mean, Carson Palmer tried, didn't work. It doesn't work. It won't work. It won't work there. So he'll get the crap. He's going to turn into Andrew Luck. He's going to have spleen ruptures for the next 4 years because they're not going to bring anybody in there to help. In fact, everybody wants to leave. AJ Green, John Ross, their defensive Dunlap, they all want to leave. Everybody wants to get the hell out. So you're Joe Burrow. I'm sorry, you're Trevor Lawrence. Do you want to go to the Jets franchise? Just optically. Wouldn't you use the advantage of the Eli Manning or the Manning family, who had a father who was brilliant? Okay, you had a brother that had already been through the situation and knew what it took to do in Indy. In fact, they forced their hand in Indy, and part of that Marshall Faulk trade was the reason why they elevated themselves. Of course, having Tony Dungy as a coach is a pretty big deal too, because that guy's an amazing coach. So those types of things, do you trust the fact that some of these franchises are going to put your best interest at heart? Does it look like the Jets are putting the best interests of Sam Darnold out there?
No, but they also have a dead man walking at coach too. And
sure.
If you go down and you look at the Jets and you sit there in those meetings and you go, all right, you know, under Todd Bowles, they weren't god-awful like they are under Adam Gase. And everybody knows Adam Gase is going to be canned. I don't know what they're waiting for at this point.
They don't want to win a football game. They don't want Greg Williams to take over and get him 2 wins.
It wasn't as if, you know, everything was rosy in New York when Eli Manning opted for there as opposed to the Chargers. In fact, didn't the Chargers have more success in the years prior to Eli?
Well, they had Drew Brees.
Eli draft?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he wanted nothing to do with that ownership group and the way that they were being run.
Yep.
You look at the Jets and you go, all right, which ownership group down here is actually going to be one that I could win with? And I mean, go to New York. You could be okay in New York.
You're not going to be okay
just
in New
get
York.
Get Adam Gase out of there.
You're not going to be okay. How come all of a sudden do we think that? Just take your mindset and look at over time in the NFL. Great franchises that are optimally run are the ones that are always there with good leadership, that are always there in the end.
Is that the teams drafting up at the top?
That's right. Right. No question. No question there. I'm looking, the other weird part about this is that everyone else controls their destiny in the real world. Okay. What's wrong with wanting to control your own destiny for your own future? What is this, like, I want to be a team player mentality? I know it's kind of, they're going to sell this to all of us, because as rookies, you do, and I do remember that, going, I got drafted to New Orleans. Dude, we had sacks on our heads. Okay, fans were garbage. I'm like, where am I? Why am I? I mean, I don't want to go here. I wanted to go to San Francisco. I wanted to go to a good team. I want to go to a good place. But I'm like, all right, team player, going to do whatever I can to do there. Just, I'm happy to be here. Going to fight my, I learned a couple, within a month into the whole damn place, that it's a dumpster fire. Getting the crap kicked out, bad coaches. It was an absolute train wreck. I'm like, this is the NFL. If you're the best in the world, I don't want to go join crap. I wouldn't if I was Trevor Lawrence.
Part of your thinking, though, that you can be the change? Like, you can be the guy that changes it. Like, you have that ego that, hey, you know, this is why I am number one.
Well, that would
this
be a problem.
This is why I am QB1. Is yeah, because that would I can't. Be I can be a guy that is part of the change. I come from winning culture. I went to Clemson. I hadn't lost a game since high school. I know how to win. I know how to do this. And that would be part of the thinking. And that's the kind of Joe Burrow's line of thinking was, hey, man, everywhere I go, we win. And
Cam Newton felt the same way. I can try to do it too. Cam Newton felt the same way.
He took Carolina to a Super Bowl.
Yep. And now, yeah, you can get to one or two, but you need help. You need good leadership. And good leadership shows itself every year with the consistent teams that are at the top. Mm. Good leaders, good coach. I want stable ownership. I want a good coach. Those things that are at the bottom right now, New York Jets, Jacksonville Jaguars, both those coaches are going to be fired. There's no way Doug Marrone hangs around. Right? He was supposed to be fired last year. So, who else is going to get fired? Was it Mike McCarthy going to get fired immediately? I don't know. They pulled the trigger on that and one and done. We saw it happen with Arizona. They pulled the ripcord, and good for them. The Bidwell family said, let's try this, and it's worked.
Well, I got your answer.
Okay.
New England tanks the
Houston
rest of the year.
Oh,
they
here we go.
Give the Jets
they
two
can't
wins.
Catch the Jets.
Well, yeah, they give them.
Oh, they're going to do the Todd Gurley and say, please score.
Well, no, they play the Jets twice.
I know.
So that would be two wins, and that would be the head-to-head tiebreaker that would vault the Jets behind the Patriots in the draft board. Boom. Bill Belichick drafts Trevor Lawrence.
I don't think they could lose to the Jets twice, even if they tried.
That's a good point, Buck.
You know how hard they'd have to try to quit? I don't think that's not even Belichick's mentality. How can you do that?
Well, maybe you tell Cam Newton to harness his inner Super Bowl and make a business decision and just step out of the way of a bunch of plays you could possibly make.
Or you just put
maybe that's
you
what
just
you
put
do.
Jared Stidham out there all the time.
Yeah, or Brian Hoyer.
Oh, I meant Brian Hoyer.
Brian Hoyer is worse than Stidham.
You know, we're going to go with Brian Hoyer the rest of the year.
See, they've already tried to put this plan into motion, and it worked for him earlier.
Yeah.
Bum, bum, bum.
That'd be spectacular if you went to the Patriots. That'd be spectacular.
By the way, do you know by how many points the Jets have been outscored this year? Seven games.
I don't know.
150.
No. 118, though.
Oh,
that's a lot for just seven games. I mean, that is...
That's a lot.
You're losing by 17 points per game. That's your average.
That's a lot.
It's hard to get blown out by double digits, right? You always say this.
They covered the spread last week, only lost by eight.
The NFL is changing.
What is your definition of a blowout in the NFL?
Well, two touchdowns.
Their average is two touchdowns and a field goal.
Yeah, they're right on par, aren't they? Yeah. On brand for the Jets. J-E-T-S.
J-T-T-S.
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 All right. Hey, where is the line? Kevin Cash pulled Blake Snell last night. Pitching a gym. Have analytics gone too far? I want to hear from you. 503-250-1080. Dodgers end a drought of 32 years, and they got a little help from the manager on the other side. This is Dusty and Cam. Coming up in about 11 minutes from now, we've got some big news in college football, and Oregon dodging a big one. We'll discuss that coming up at 8:30. But last night, we had a head-scratcher there as Kevin Cash really helped the Dodgers get their first World Series in 32 years by pulling Blake Snell. Who was pitching a gem, 73 pitches in 5 1/3 innings. And Snell gets pulled after allowing only his second hit of the game. It was only two hits that he'd given up all night long. And Blake Snell, after the game, he still thought he had a lot left in the tank.
I get it's the third time through the lineup, but I think I'm going to make the adjustments I need to make as I see them, you know, a third time. I think... I don't know, man. I just believe in me. I believe in my stuff. I believe in, you know, what I was doing. I didn't walk nobody. They had two, you know, hits up the middle. But for most of that game, man, I was dominating every, you know, every outcome possible. So, and that lineup is so talented, like so talented. And I wanted to keep going, man. I felt so confident, you know, how I adjusted through seeing him a second time and what I was going to be able to do a third time. Like, I wanted to go that whole game. That was everything I wanted to do, was just, you know, burn the tank and see how far I could go.
Man, I just listened to that guy. How do you not ride with that guy? How did Cash, you walk out there, not look him in the eyes and go, all right, I'm riding with you, man. Well, we are in this together, taking my book, and I am throwing this thing out. I don't care. This is the World Series. We're the Tampa Bay Rays. Nobody cares about us. Nobody's worried about making a mistake. It's the Tampa Bay Rays. All the pressure is on the Dodgers. Let's ride, man. Let's go. How do you – at some point in time, you got to take the man side, look him in the eyes, and let it go. And that's last night. Critical error. Critical error.
Well, he didn't even give Blake Snell a chance – to talk to him about
it. No, he didn't.
That was one of the issues, and it wasn't even him. It was the pitching coach that goes out there and got the hook for Snell. And it was a big letdown for the Rays, because he still had a lot left. He looked strong. He looked just as strong as he had at any point in that game. And this is just kind of something that, you know, to the Rays' credit, it's what they've done with him since going back to last year. I mean, he hasn't pitched more than 6 innings in 21 straight outings. That is the longest streak for a starter in baseball.
Someone pointing out on the text line that if it was analytics driven, that it doesn't even really make a ton of sense, because he brought in a righty, Anderson, to face Betts, and Betts hits 123 points lower against lefties.
Yeah. And then you have a lefty coming up behind him, too.
Right, you have Kyle, of Corey Seager.
It's so confusing. Yeah. It definitely isn't Kyle Seager.
No, it's not.
But you sit there and you look at that, and that makes it even more head-scratching that he was in the game.
Yeah, it really does. It was one of those types of situations where you'd like to go down as knowing that you didn't rely on a stat and you relied on the heart and the fight of your players, and this is where baseball's made that mistake. I think they really have. Analytics, there's a place for it. No question there's a place for it. But when push comes to shove, you need somebody to make a play. That's – you want to rely on those guys in that moment. How could you not hear Snell, not to just listening to the guy?
But to the texture's point, though, it doesn't make sense analytically what they did either.
Right.
So, I mean, that to me.
So it's a double doink? Is that what we're calling this?
Yeah. Okay. They screwed it up twice. It's one of those.
Huh? Okay.
Way to go, Kevin Cash.
Yeah. And this one says, you know, analytics have gone way too far, kind of like how MLB scouts are just looking for who can throw the next 100-mile-per-hour pitch instead of pitchers like a Greg Maddux or Jamie Moyer type.
Well, you get locked into the sexiness of being able to throw 100 miles an hour. It's like Gratterall. He comes in, you can't control it. He comes in throwing 102-mile-an-hour two-seamer. It's like, how do you hit that? Well, is that sexy anymore? Is that really what you're looking for? Is that I just want to go in there? By the way, he made a terrible pitch when he hung a slider and slowed the bat down to Zunino and got a chance. So all these factors on all these pitchers, I don't know how these guys are deciphering between whether or not a pitcher has heart or just he has arm talent. I don't know. I don't know how these pitchers learn to deal with adversity and pitch their way out of adversity if you're never put in adversity.
Well, and I think one of the parts of the analytic world is you take that part out of it. You know, you take that element out of
like
it,
robot.
But what happens is that you stymie a lot of guys who have that killer instinct. And I mean, I don't know if Blake Snell does have that killer instinct in him. I don't know how good of a pitcher he is. I know that one guy who...
Well, we don't know, because he's never been allowed to.
Well, it's been over a year since they've
But if they only pitch him
it,
at 5 1/3 all the time and don't allow him to get
that's
under...
that's ridiculous.
Then you don't know what kind of heart he is. It's like Nolan Ryan. Now, these guys know how to pitch. They know how to pitch out of a jam. Or how do you get creative? If you don't have your best stuff on a day, who walks out and goes, I got 97 today, 96? Sometimes you don't have your best stuff. But what makes a great pitcher to develop into a great pitcher is knowing how to get guys out without your best stuff.
And there is room for those guys on pitching staffs. And I think both these rosters do have those types of guys. And I mean, Charlie Morton's a great example of a guy who pitched in the World Series for Tampa and now he got roughed up. But, you know, you can have the crafty veterans, but he's more of like to the analytic road where, hey, he doesn't mind if he gets pulled. He's fine with it. Blake Snell does. And those guys can't be left behind and forgotten as to, and Zach Greinke, you brought him up earlier. Mm-hmm. He's another great example of that, is that you shouldn't just forget about these guys. He's a serial killer.
That's why he cares.
No, he and Trevor Bauer.
It's creepy.
But to that point, this text says, the analytics are getting way too out of hand in baseball. You pull your starting pitcher after the game he's had, about to face three hitters that he's struck out twice in that game. Like, come on. Crazy. I know that when Snell starts letting people hit him, you can pull him fast, but that was one hit. Yeah. The second he pulled him, we knew it was over. It was a momentum killer, and sorry for the rant. It's just frustrating to watch.
No, it's 100% true.
Agree there. That's spot on. The Dodgers, everybody, even after the game, from Bellinger to Mookie Betts, they all said, yeah, thank God that I'm glad that happened.
Everybody went, why? Like, oh,
thank you.
But why?
Yes,
but,
thank you.
But why did you do
You're
that?
You're going to bring in a right-hander that throws gas, fine. Hang a slider to me and I'll go yard. And then make a couple mistakes. Boy. And Mookie got two hits off that situation. It's a double. And then hits a home run to give him an insurance run. Mookie Betts is like, thank you. Thank you.
Very, very confusing as to what Kevin Cash was doing, because he also said, I felt like it was the right time. Yeah. I feel like a third time through the lineup is too many for Blake Snell. I value the going through the lineup for a third time. He was saying that it was on him and not as much as to what the binder was actually telling him to do. And that is what kind of crushed him, and it crushed them in game five as well. With, you know, he gave his guys a lot of leash in game five, and then he pulled it all back in game six after Margot, you know, tried to steal home plate. You took that ability out of Blake Snell to say, I can do this. I can pitch, when you had a green light to steal home. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, and this text, I mean, we talked about the lefty-righty matchup, but this one goes, why the hell would you even put Anderson in? He'd given up a run in six consecutive outings, and I know that, you know, the numbers say he was your guy for those leverage spots during the year, but there's also an element, and frankly, both managers did it. I didn't know why Roberts put Gonsolin back out there to start the game. Like, these guys have been giving up hits and runs in crucial spots, and both managers keep running them out there.
Gonsolin, they threw this one. He'd pitched seven innings and giving up four home runs heading into the night. And then the fifth pitch of that night,
like, I would have started Arias.
Mm-hmm. It was gone. But yeah, he pitched like eight innings, had five home runs allowed.
It's all Moneyball's fault. It's all Brad Pitt's fault.
Well, guess what?
It's all of it.
All the teams that are winning World Series right now, they're doing it.
Yeah.
So well, part of it. We can complain about it, and it's not perfect. It's an inexact separation science, but it's working.
It's the separation factor of when to use it, when not to use it.
Yep.
You can see it when it's not to be used.
And, you know, Dave Roberts, he kept Urias in that game for 2 1/3. Yeah. He probably wasn't planning on keeping him. The book doesn't tell him to keep him in 2 1/3 innings. No,
but the guy had a hot hand, and then get your bat off your shoulder, raise players. My gosh, you watch two strike threes go by right down the hammer, and congrats to the Dodgers, man. They took advantage. They went out and got it. They went out and took that game.
How much of that do you think had to do with Blake Snell leaving the game, though, and the wind being taken out of their sails?
Of course it does.
And they're
momentum.
Just going, oh, boy.
Yeah.
You know, it's a mother bear in baseball. Mm-hmm. All right, 503-250-1080. More of your feedback on this coming up as the show goes on. But we have big news out of college football, a little breaking news out of the Big Ten, and it pertains a little bit to Oregon, which dodges a big one just 11 days before kickoff. How quickly a season can go awry in 2020. Here's Buck with SportsCenter. All right, Swag just came in to inform me that he did not go bottom shelf. You don't go bottom shelf on the champagne. He went to Argyle Vintage Brew. He went local with his celebration. Oh. And he did confirm he drank it all himself. Whole bottle to the face.
And got up early.
Way to go, Swigard. That's what I'm talking about. World Series champ.
How many ounces are in a champagne bottle?
I don't know. Not enough to keep Swigard hungover, that's for damn sure.
Jeez.
That's what I'm talking about.
Nurse on it all night. He's pouring a glass or right out of the bottle, Swag. That's the good question.
Out of the bottle.
I think I saw a pull out of the, he went. No goggles, though. The goggles.
Well, you're not going to ruin your own living room doing that.
I don't see why not. It only happens once every 32 years.
If Swigard had a video taken of him with a tarped off living room, that would have been spectacular. It would have been Dexter.
That would have been spectacular.
People would have been thinking like Dexter being super murdery. They wouldn't have thought
we might need to do that just so we can recreate that.
Yeah.
For the social media, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it would.
Wife spraying you down. That would have been great.
I mean, that gets into a whole, you know, niche thing. It ends up on Pornhub, and nobody's happy in the Swigert household at that point, you know?
Well, I mean.
It's all about the Dodgers.
Well, Swag's happy.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, you're married. As long as you keep it consensual, you're
all right.
You got to keep it spicy, for God's sakes. I keep it spicy.
I know. Yeah. If that's how
it's
going
to
happen.
That's what you want to roll.
I mean, we've heard of and seen of weirder.
Yeah.
I mean, it's out there.
Yeah.
The internet's a hell of a
Congrats
place.
Congrats to Swag and the Dodgers, man.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Way to go, Doyers.
Extremely jealous, but yeah. Appreciate it.
Hey, Wisconsin is not playing football. They have put a halt to all of their football-related activities after what they are calling an uptick in COVID numbers. We know that their now starting quarterback, Graham Mertz, tested positive.
Mm-hmm.
Their backup quarterback then tested positive, which is now their third string. They would have been on their fourth string, Danny Vanderboom.
Yep.
Would have been the starting quarterback. We don't know how many positive tests. There's 12 people now, according to Yahoo Sports, within the program that have tested positive for COVID-19. And this is a dicey situation because we talked about this briefly, but the Big Ten protocols are 21 days.
So according to...
21 days they have to sit out.
According to Jesse Temple, who covers the University of Wisconsin for The Athletic, it is 12 people. Within Wisconsin program had tested positive in the past 5 days. Head coach also.
Oh, I had not seen that.
Yes, and that does include...
Paul Christ.
Includes six student-athletes and six staff members, including head coach Paul Christ. Additional tests results are pending. I don't know why this is shocking, because we saw it in the SEC. We saw it at University of Houston. We've seen it at Arkansas. We saw it at Florida. This is going to happen, folks. It's going to happen in the Pac-12. It's going to happen in the Big Ten. This is not this. I don't think there needs to be any worry or jump on. This is the 2020 college football season.
No, I think
this stuff is going to happen.
This is big though in the Big 12 though, because of Big 10, the 21 days.
Oh, no, when you're talking about that, yeah.
I mean, that's where this is far different.
Yeah.
And you look at that's three games.
Yeah,
and they're having to put a pause right now on 1 week of games. But if it is 21 days and they can't test them, it's going to be hard to test out of it. Then you got a problem.
Well, the 21-day thing
is... You've got a big problem.
I don't get the 21 days. I don't understand why it's to that level. I don't know what their medical situation, they agreed on that.
They were on the far end of the... contagious,
sure,
how long you're
right.
contagious.
That's so their options. I think it's a little extreme when it comes to 21 days, because there's already been professional teams and college teams already doing this, but they're choosing to do that way. That's their protocols.
Yep.
Okay.
And that
there
is
you go.
That makes a big difference, because, you know, Wisconsin is the first. They won't be the last team that in the Big Ten that has
not
this happen. And as it pertains to, you know, locally, like Oregon, boy, they had what they thought was five positive tests on the daily testing on Saturday. They put a pause to all their activities on Saturday, Sunday, where they had a scrimmage, and then they were going to put a halt to that, and then they took Sunday off as well. And they ended up retesting and finding out that after back-to-back PCR tests, they were false positive tests on the daily testing.
Well, it's good news for Oregon. That's certainly, if you want to look on the positive side of this, it's very stressful. I can't imagine what it's like to go through those guys and coaches trying to manage all these young guys and get them all on the same page, and haven't even got a start to the season when it comes in less than 2 weeks now. What would you say?
11 days.
11 days.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to get everything organized. You get this stuff and false positives. And we've seen that. We're going to see it more and more, too. It's good news for Oregon, because certainly you don't want to get caught up in this right now.
Here's a big question though on the Zoom call with Mario Cristobal. I hopped on that last night, and he was asked about, you know, okay, so you guys had a scrimmage that was canceled because, you know, Saturday game day, right? It was they went through like a game day routine. You get daily testing. Boom, right. It comes back. We got five guys. Boom, we're gonna put a halt to this thing. They had the ability to do that. What would happen on a game day? And, you know, being frank and honest with the whole thing, Chris Ball is like, well, you know, I'm not sure exactly what would happen, but he said that we do believe we will have daily a rapid PCR test available on game days. And he said, I'll follow up with that just to make sure we're right. Yeah. But, you know, they're hoping that by the time, you know, November 7th rolls around, they can have a rapid PCR test to be like, okay, we can confirm that this is not the case of a, it is a false positive. And there is a possibility that in the Pac-12, those guys could be feasibly playing on that Saturday despite a false positive on game day.
All good news.
It's really good news.
Regarding the technology that the Pac-12 has been able to add to their protocols. It's going to be tough. It's six games with a seventh game championship, and these guys have to be very disciplined. They're just going to have to be. The advantage of teams like Oregon, Oregon State, Washington State, Arizona, that are smaller towns, and I know Eugene's not super small, but we compare to like Seattle or LA or San Francisco and what they're dealing with in their counties, is that the less population, sure, these guys have to be really disciplined. They're going to have to be. They're going to have to be just beyond. And coaches are going to try their best to keep these guys informed that if we want to play football, you guys are going to have to do all the things that you thought were right. You're going to have to go above and beyond what you thought were right. Above and beyond.
Well, there's zero flexibility for Wisconsin. Zero flexibility for the Pac-12. So these guys have to realize how much they're against it right now, because Wisconsin's pausing their football activities for a week.
Sure.
They're not going to reschedule their game against Nebraska. It's considered no contest, which means no one wins, no one loses. It's just...
So it's a tie. I mean,
obviously a tie, you know.
I guess the way the records will play out, it's
a no contest.
Because say, you know, I don't know, Wisconsin finishes 8-0 and you know Minnesota finishes 9-0.
It's the same record. Same record. Undefeated.
Both 100% of the games. Yeah.
But Adam Rittenberg had a really good take on this. He said the most precious commodity of this football season is flexibility. The Big Ten lost that August 11th. Yep. Why there wasn't more of a desire within the league to simply push it back rather than cancel initially is why we are where we are. And John Wilner says same thing with the Pac-12.
I've been saying that the whole time.
Why did they not set the schedule for September 26th when they knew at the time they wouldn't be able to get on the field in August?
Yeah. There's no, well, because you weren't going to be able to get on a field in September 26th either, because it was mid-October. It was like, what, a week and a half ago before Stanford could even practice. I mean.
Crazy.
Hey. They weren't going to be able to start September 26th either, but at least you could have kicked the can down the road and put a little pressure on.
The lack of play in the wheel, though, is going to be damning for a lot of programs.
Yep. And this is going to be.
Flexibility.
And for Nebraska, it especially sucks because they're 0-1, and they won't have an opportunity to make up this game against Wisconsin.
Positive side, don't have to watch the two red teams in confusion of the jerseys and uniforms on the game day.
White.
Always confuses.
White helmets, red face
masks.
Always
confuses me. Totally confused.
You just got to look for the thick stripes and the skinny
stripes.
I do.
I look for the N or the Badger W.
Big ass W on the back.
Badger W.
Yeah, this is not good for Wisconsin, not good for the Big Ten either, because that was going to be one of their better teams this year, Wisconsin. So they're done. But the good news for Oregon is that their five positive tests were all false positives. Yep. They dodged a big one just 11 days before the season started, and all is still good. And Mario Cristobal reiterated it yesterday. They are back to having zero positive tests in their program since this whole thing started. Mm-hmm. And they've had, like he said, we're over 1,000 tests now. You know, I mean, gosh, we've been testing like crazy. And boom, they still do not have a positive test. So that's good news across the Pac-12. You're not seeing a whole heck of a lot. Cal basketball has won? Is that I think that's
I don't know.
The only
is
other
that
one.
What it was?
Yeah, Cal basketball has one player who tested positive. He's asymptomatic, but they have shut down their practices.
Boom. All right. Let's put a bow on the World Series. Dodgers, first one in 32 years. And your feedback on what went wrong for the Rays and everything that went right for the Dodgers to win a World Series in a shortened season. Dustin Cam on the Fan. Hey, Utah Jazz sold. They got a new owner. Ryan Smith is his name. He's the founder of Qualtrics.
Okay.
It is a software, one software to turn customers to fanatics, employees to ambassadors, products to obsessions, and brands to religions. Right. I don't know what the hell that means, but he's 40 and a billionaire.
Right. He's got a lot of money. Here's a, I got a Pac-12. He's,
wait, hold on. He is 40 years old, $8 billion he sold his company for. Now he just was like, you know what? I'm going to buy the Utah Jazz. And good he did him. It, damn it.
Good for him.
That's pretty badass.
Spend a little money. What else are you going to do with it? You got billions. Be an owner. That sounds cool. Here's a Pac-12 make and money. Big 12 question compared to the, I know we're transitioning, but we talked about it last segment. Do you think that, is there any credence to the fact that the SEC, Big 12, ACC all got started with the hopes of trying to figure out their situations and see if on the back end, knowing that they were going to miss some games and knowing that the fact that they got started in August and then and pushed it back to September to allow to try to figure this out in that time. Do you think the Pac-12 waiting and the Big Ten waiting is going to get to the point where outbreaks are going to happen and then they'll be lucky to get 2-3 games that if they would have started in September to get their protocols in place, understand this, use the right situations, good communication, get the tests ready and all of that, that there would be an opportunity to really get us? Because I'm looking at this going, I don't know how they get 6 games in the way it's starting to trend and way we see this. So I look back and forth and go, I applaud them most definitely for coming back and changing their mind. But if they would have had a little more stick-to-itiveness early and said, let's kick the tires or let's try to find our solutions instead of just immediately shutting down, could they have got ahead of this earlier? These are all going to be questions we see, but there's no magic answer to college football. There is no wrong or right now because nobody knows what's going on.
Well, you couldn't start earlier. We talked about this with like Stanford and Cal, like they literally could not.
Well, that's
have
their government. Yes,
earlier.
I understand that. This is a hypothetical question in a sense. Is that looking what other did the SEC do it wrong? Did the ACC do it right? Did the Big 12? Is the Pac 12 right? Is the Big 10? Because I don't have a direct answer to all of this because it's so fluid and constantly changing.
I think it's pretty clear that having flexibility is important.
Right. And that's what I meant about the Pac-12 and Big 10.
They never had any flex. The Pac-12 and Big 10 don't. And that,
well,
that
why
is,
don't they?
Because you can't back up any games. Like you have zero flexibility to
because they waited.
Postpone a game.
Yeah, because they waited.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. Yep. Is they don't have any flexibility where the other conferences do.
Right.
But there was a completely different set of issues that the Pac-12 had that the other conferences didn't, which was
government
being able to actually play in your state. And where the Pac-12, I guess, may, if you look at like the little hot spots on the maps, the Midwest and the South, there's a lot more of it going, we're having record numbers out here. You know, we're setting daily records for people testing positive.
Yeah.
It's not even close to like, you know, Wisconsin, for example, you know, 28,000 cases in the last 7 days.
It doesn't help.
We sit there and we look at Madison. We're like, oh, why is it happening at the University of Wisconsin? Well, they had 28,000 cases in a week.
Well, it doesn't help when you have, you know, the whole city of LA out celebrating back to back.
That ain't going
to
be good.
And it doesn't help in what's happening in Philly and all this other stuff. So it's just none of this stuff is we're trying to stay in the lane of college football and what's right or what's wrong. At least they're trying. And I give them that. And they're going to do the best they can with the protocols in place. And so we'll see. They just get used to seeing a weird record. Like this team played 4 games. This team played 8 games. It's just something we're not going to be comfortable seeing, but it's going to be how it is.
This text saying, call it like it is. As long as Ohio State is fine, the Big Ten is fine.
Yep, that is
true. Well, I mean, they're going to get tested when it says it's going to be not a literal, but it's don't think Ohio State's just going to cruise through this. They're not going to cruise through this.
No, Michigan looks pretty good.
Yeah.
I was just looking at that little map thing. I've already said, you know, Wisconsin, 28,000 cases in the last 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
The state of California has 30,000 cases. There are like 6 times as many, 7 times as many people in California as Wisconsin.
Pretty good about after last night's celebration?
There's going to be some.
Yeah.
There's going to be a little bit of an uptick there. Yeah, but that kind of puts it into perspective of, look, That's how much it's spreading in the Midwest right now, where the Big Ten is going to have their issues that they're going up against, as the Pac-12 will.
Right.
You just got to be vigilant and smart about it. We'll see what happens with it. But yeah, we had a looting for the Dodgers World Series. There it seemed looting, like there was more of a fan reaction from the Dodgers than the Lakers winning.
Really? Well, it's been 32 years. Just like swag, 32 years. Been saving that bottle. Man. Lakers are like, we just had one in 2009.
Wait, nah. Swag didn't save a bottle for 32 years.
Oh, I don't know. I was just guessing. I was guessing.
But it's a long time.
My father-in-law had saved a bottle for the first time when the Cougs went to the Rose Bowl in 1998.
How long 97, did he save it for?
Since when he graduated. As a Coug, so I think it was like 30. Oh, no. It was their prior Rose Bowl. So the last time the Cougs had gone to the Rose Bowl, he's like, I'm going to save this bottle for the next time we do it. So I was like, yeah.
Oh, he was thinking like, I'll open this next year?
Yeah, it's like,
how terrible did that taste?
Well, it probably, I don't know. I'm not an aficionado of some of those things. I don't know enough about champagne. Does it go bad? It's got to go bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it won't stay carbonated for 40 years.
Will it? I don't know.
No.
Well, wine, there's wines that are sitting on shelves but they're not carbonated. So does carbonation go away if it's bottled?
Sure. Yeah.
It does?
Yeah. I mean, it'll go away eventually after 30 or 40 years.
I guess
years.
If it's leaking through the cork and everything. I mean,
after enough time.
Sure.
That will happen. No. So wait a minute. The Rose Bowl, they went to the Rose Bowl in 98, you said?
It was the 97 season, 98 Rose Bowl.
And he popped it then?
Yeah.
So then he would have had his... Wait, 1931 was the previous Rose Bowl before that.
Right. I don't think that makes a lot of sense. So maybe it was when he graduated college, probably, when he graduated.
Man, I don't know if 67 years. Well, I mean, he's your grandfather.
No, he's my father-in-law.
I thought you said your grandfather.
No.
Oh, so your father-in-law. Yeah, I don't think he was rolling around.
I bet there's some bottles out there for Mariner fans that are sitting around 2001. You'd be holding on to those for a while.
Yeah. Hang on to those, folks.
Cracking bottles.
You're going to have to wait a while. Dodgers wait no more. 32 years, it's over. They win the World Series last night over the Tampa Bay Rays. Stick here at 1080 The Fan for more coverage all day long. Swag, noted Dodger fan.
Wearing the jersey.
Will be on at noon. Yeah.
What jersey is it?
Kurt Gibson jersey? Yeah. Is that what he was wearing today?
I think it might be Koufax.
Really?
It's number 27. I don't know who number 27 is.
That's not Gibson.
No. Huh? Who was number 27? Kirk Gibson. Kirk Gibson?
Was he? He was not 20. It's not
23.
Yeah, 23. Michael Jordan before Michael Jordan, or not? No. Yeah.
I don't know. He'll come storming back here. Yeah, you
can run in here any second.
Yeah, he'll yell at us. Yeah. It's probably Sandy Koufax. I want to leave you with this on the losing end of that. Randy Arozarena. Mm-hmm. Second best number 56 in sports history.
Who's number one?
Well, Lawrence Taylor.
Oh, in history?
In sports history. I think of number 56.
Sure. That's a good one.
I mean, that is a random ass number for a baseball player to be wearing.
True.
I mean, it's the best in baseball.
56.
Right?
That guy's going to get paid. I hope makes a crap ton of money.
Who else wore 56 in baseball? Mark Burley was a 56. I don't even know. Hey, World Series is done. Up next, we got the Hearth calling Cowherd 9 to noon. He's down in L.A. He'll give you an update what's going on down there. Noon to 3, Durant's Break, 3 to 7, primetime with Isaac and Suk. It is Wednesday, which means we got Hot Corn Up with Harrison Lynch. Perfect day to have them recap everything that happened in baseball this season. And then we've got 9 to 10, Duck Insider with Joey Mack. Have a great Wednesday. See you Thursday right here on 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.